Coming up next, it's the newest phone from HTC. We put an uncrashable Parrot Bebop into the hands of our very own Leo Laporte, a gaming keyboard full of rainbows and sunshine, a projector for those portable folk, and smooth shots for your GoPro. You've got to watch before you buy.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Before You Buy is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com.
It's time for Twit's annual audience survey, and we want to hear from you. Please visit twit.tv/survey and let us know what you think. It only takes a few minutes, and your anonymous feedback will help us make Twit even better. We thank you so much for your continued support. twit.tv/survey.
This episode of Before You Buy is brought to you by Prosper. Prosper is a peer-to-peer lending marketplace that connects people who are looking to borrow money with those who have money to lend. Visit prosper.com/twit and receive a $50 Visa gift card when you get a loan. And by Blue Apron. Blue Apron will send you all of the ingredients to cook fresh, delicious meals with simple step-by-step instructions right to your door. See what's on the menu this week and get your first two meals free by going to blueapron.com/twit. That's blueapron.com/twit. Hello and welcome to Before You Buy. It's Twit's review show where we take products, the latest gadgets and gizmos that we get in the brick house, and we give them to members of the Twit TV staff, to hosts and staff alike. Now, we believe that this is the best way to give you reviews from people who actually use the devices rather than just get it and take a look and maybe write a couple of sentences. This first one comes from our very own phone guru herself. We gave Miriam Jouar the HTC M9 to take a first look at the latest and greatest from the phone manufacturer.
Hey there, it's Miriam with Before You Buy here with the HTC One M9. Yes, this is the phone that was just announced at Mobile Congress 2015 in Barcelona. And I have one right here. It is a really, really beautiful phone. There's an incredible amount of detail in the machined metal shell this year. And you're going to say, well, it doesn't look much different than last year's. That was intentional. You'll primarily notice and be able to tell this one apart because of the different back camera pod. But everything else about it looks very similar, but it feels completely different in hand. Let me walk you through some of the history of the HTC One series. The M7, everybody loved really holding in hand, but for some reason, they went with the M8 to a bit more of a rounded design, a little bit more friendly, I guess. But at the same time, it was really slippery. So the people that built the M9 decided to kind of do the best of both worlds. So it's a little less round, and the edges are certainly a little sharper. So it's got more of that M7 feel in terms of that feel in hand. But it's got a lot more of that smoothness and detail that we came to love about the M8. So that's what's really cool about this. It's all about design. This is absolutely the most gorgeous Android phone I have ever seen. And I say this about the M series phones from HTC every year. The One M7 was one of the gorgeous, most gorgeous phones, and the M8. And here we are with the M9, once again, being absolutely amazing. And the biggest cool detail, as I said, is it's this dual color. You've got silver in the back, and then as you rotate, the edges of the phone are gold. It's the same piece of metal. It takes them 300 minutes to mill this shell out of one piece of solid aluminum. So again, if you're a design buff, you're going to love this phone. But remember, a lot of phones are now made out of metal. A lot of phones are machined. And you're going to say, why do I care? I'm going to put it in a case. Well, perhaps you're not going to put it in a case. Not only that, but perhaps, you know, this is the state of things. A flagship device that costs, you know, $600, $650 unlocked should be this well made. And we're seeing Samsung now finally do metal phones as well. So I think HTC was the innovator there. Of course, Apple did it as well. But in the Android realm, this is it in terms of design. There is a nano SIM on the left side here, standard nano SIM port. On the top here, you have the infrared port for the TV remote. This uses PLTV, as you know, as an app. On the right-hand side here, you have the microSD card slot expansion. So you only have 32 gigs, but you can expand it up to 128 gigs in here. Volume rocker, power block key. It's been relocated to the right-hand side. It used to be on top on the other M7 and M8s. And then on the bottom here, pretty traditional layout for HTC. You get the headphone jack and the micro USB charge and data port. As I said, in the front, still have the boom sound speakers. They sound even better this year with Dolby support, virtualization. You can get surround sound out of this phone. It's virtualized, but it's really good. The new ultra-pixel front-facing camera with the sensors. There's a notification LED embedded in the top speaker. And then in the back, as I said, there is the... This 20-megapixel camera, it sticks out a little bit. Dual LED, dual color flash. And then the antenna bands that are seamlessly zero-gap integrated into the metal. That was something that was on the M7 and M8. Same with the logo. NFC, of course, built in. No wireless charging on this phone, though, so just keep that in mind. It seems that the flagships are polarized right now. There's about half and half that are with wireless charging and without. What's so different about it on the inside? This is another year gone by, and we have a very similar looking phone. How does it differentiate itself if it looks so similar on the outside? Well, it does have a bunch of pretty awesome specs. It's one of the first, the second I've had in my hands, Snapdragon 810 equipped devices. So it's got the Qualcomm's best chip on the market today, and it's a screamer. It's super, super fast. I will show you a little bit here. You know, you've got the tray. I mean, everything is buttery smooth. 3 gigs of RAM, 32 gigs of built-in storage. You know, pretty much what you'd expect from a modern flagship phone. One of the interesting things, though, is that HTC decided to basically keep last year's display. This is a 1080p 5-inch panel. IPS, it's gorgeous. The colors are beautiful. So no major difference here from last year, but at the same time, why improve something that was great? They could have gone Quad HD, but at that point, it's kind of overkill. You don't really benefit too much from the additional resolution. Perhaps on a 5.5-inch screen, it would have made a difference. So you've noticed I haven't talked about the camera yet, because that's kind of the Achilles heel of this phone. And I wouldn't say it really, but it has been a bit of a disappointment on the M8 as well. So let's give, again, a bit of history and context. The HTC One M7, 2 years ago, launched with a, at the time, kind of surprising 4-megapixel camera. But these 4 megapixels were very, very large, 2 microns. So you could gather a ton of low light, and it had an f/2.0 lens. So really good at low light performance. So you sacrificed the ability to zoom for the ability to gather low light. And it had optical image stabilization, which at the time only Nokia was doing. So that was a huge deal. For whatever reason, with the M8 last year, they decided to drop the optical image stabilization, keep this 4-megapixel sensor. So you still had the good low light, but you were still suffering in terms of cropping pictures because you couldn't zoom on them. And then they added a dual camera at the top, which was giving you depth perception. So you could do some things like focus after the fact and some other interesting effects. But it was a gimmick, and the reviewers, all of us, felt the same way. And so they've dropped this year, and they've put a, are you ready? 20-megapixel autofocus camera on the back. But here is the fatal flaw. Once you get to 20 megapixels, your pixels are really small. So you're losing all the advantages of those ultra pixels you used to have. And so now low light performance is affected. And guess what? This does not have OIS. Now, one thing that's interesting is that the front-facing camera has now inherited this ultra pixel 2-micron, 4-megapixel design from the old M7 and M8. It's in the front, no OIS, no autofocus. It's designed for selfies, very wide angle, works really quite well. So that's the HTC One M9 in a nutshell in terms of hardware. Software, it's Lollipop. It's Sense 7.0 on top of Lollipop. As you can see here, I'm running the default UI, which still has this little flipboard-like thing on the left when you scan there. And then basically just one single widget that you can move around and rearrange. that lets you put your most frequent apps in the front of the phone and keep them grouped together as a widget. I'm not quite sure what the point of it is, but it's kind of interesting. There's lots of small evolutionary changes in the HTC Sense UI this year. 7.0 adds a whole bunch of little things that are really just tweaks. It just makes the experience just a little bit better. There's really not too much new there. But again, I think it's good that HTC is being cautious and iterating on something that they're just been kind of perfecting over time. Sense is definitely one of the nicest and least obtrusive skins for Android today, and so that's great. Of course, Lollipop under the hood, you'd expect that today. This is 5.0, not 5.1, by the way. So you're basically getting a rehash of last year in many ways, same display, an evolution of the design, but even more refined. You're getting a brand new internals, you know, brand new processor, and really, really fast performance. This has a 2840 milliamp hour battery. I haven't had the phone long enough to really be able to tell you what battery life is like, but I expect it to be good. It is slightly thicker than the M8, which in turn was slightly thicker than the M7, and the M7 had issues with battery life. The M8 was a bit better. This should be pretty good too. So that's what you're getting. The display hasn't really improved, and then the camera is not what I would buy this phone for. It is fine, serviceable, but really not at flagship level for 2015. So I would say this is a buy. This is an absolute great device. There's no doubt that this is going to be one of the top five phones for 2015. So yes, it's a buy. The caveat, obviously, that you're not buying this for the camera. This is Miriam for Before You Buy, and this was our HTC One M9 review.
There you have it. It's a buy from Miriam Joar for the HTC One M9. Now, you know, Brian, I remember when HTC first came out with the One, and it was a step up for design in Android phones. I mean, you remember that one, right? The original?
Yeah, actually, I reviewed one way back for Sprint, and really, the hardware was the nicest thing about it. It was one of the first Android phones that I could say, like, the hardware was top-notch.
Yeah, you know, the one thing that's still missing, and I'm waiting for, especially Miriam, because she's got a great eye for this. I want an Android phone that has a good camera, one that you're not making excuses for. It doesn't have to be the best. It just has to not be bad. And hopefully maybe the M10 will do it. I don't know. It's a tie for me between this and the new Galaxy. They both kind of have sexy hardware. Which one do you think you'd go with, Brian?
You know what I really want would be a Nokia phone running Android. Because I've played with a few Lumias, and I love the cameras on those, but it just, I wish they had Android on them.
That may be a project for know-how.
Someday.
Now, let's go ahead and move on to our next little bit here. Now, we know that here at the Twit Brick House, quadcopters are strictly the domain of Cranky Hippo and Padre SJ. In fact, we would never even think of putting a drone, a quadcopter, a multirotor into the hands of anybody else because there's no one else who's qualified. Unless, of course, you have a new drone, the Parrot Bebop, that's supposed to be uncrashable.
Hey, Father Robert, it's not fair that you should have all the drone fun. So I have ordered and just got today the Parrot Bebop drone. I'm pretty excited. This is the Parrot Bebop itself. Parrot was the company that really kind of created these easy-to-use quadcopters. This ridiculous thing is an extra $300. You could put an iPad in here, and then you have more traditional RC. I guess for the pro, this is better. It also has a Wi-Fi antenna that'll go 1.4 miles. But you can, as with all the Parrot devices, you can just use your iPhone or your Android device to do it. And I'm just going to give you a little idea of what this can do. We'll do a real review next week, but just a first look. $899 for the whole thing. It's kind of pricey. The drone itself, just $500. It has a very wide-angle camera on the front, and that's what's one of the things that's really unusual about this is you don't move the camera. You actually tilt and pan and zoom using the screen. So, see, there's the shot. Hi, everybody. You ready? Let's take off. Watch the drone. It's very easy to use, and that's a good thing since the last one I lost in the sky. The drone goes up and stays at a certain height, and then you use the iPad to steer it and fly it. I can also point the video down and say, hey, everybody, let's go flying. Let's go a little higher by just raising the altitude. And we're going to get a view of the house in a little bit here from way above beautiful Petaluma, California. No, come back, drone. It did it again. Land, land, land. All right. Next week, the parrot Bebop, $8.99. I'll have figured it out by then. Back to you, Robert.
Oh, the humanity. Okay, folks, so Leo is going to give us a full review of the parrot Bebop. This is one I've actually been waiting to see for quite a while because we took a look at the Bebop at CES. And in fact, if you've gone to any conferences, tech conferences, where they're giving away drones, more likely than not, they're giving away Bebop because they're actually flying these things inside. That's how safe they are. That's how stable they are. Only question is if Leo can become an FPV monster. We'll see. Now, let's go ahead and take a moment to thank the first sponsor of this episode of Before You Buy. Now, let's face it. There aren't a lot of really good ways to borrow money. Sure, you could go to family. You could go to friends. Maybe you could go to a loan shark. Or you could get a traditional bank loan, which I think is actually more painful than going to a loan shark. But now, with a fixed low loan rate, we've got Prosper.com. Prosper.com is the way, the better way to borrow money in this new generation. Now, you can borrow up to $35,000 in as few as 5 days. And you can use that money for just about anything you desire. Pay off your high-rate credit cards, fix up the house, maybe even put it into your business. Now, I remember when I was running my own business, before I entered the priesthood, way, way back when, it was actually a very good business, very profitable. But at one point, I needed a bridge loan, something to cover myself between the fulfillment of contracts, which I had a lot of, and, well, just regular payroll. And I had to go and do the traditional bank loan route. And it was painful going into bank after bank and trying to convince bank managers with my spreadsheets that we weren't just solvent, but that we were cash positive. I would never have had to do that with Prosper because it's the better way to borrow money. It puts the people who need money with the people who have money to lend. It's really that simple. Prosper's online marketplace is designed to meet your needs, to find the perfect place for you to borrow money from. You don't rack up more debt on your credit cards. You can pay them off with Prosper. Now, to check your low rate instantly without affecting your good credit, go to prosper.com/twit. And now, for a limited time, Prosper is offering Twit viewers a $50 Visa gift card with your low interest loan. You can get up to $35,000 in your account in as few as 5 days and a $50 Visa gift card. Go to prosper.com/twit for this special offer just for our viewers. That's prosper.com/twit. And we thank Prosper for their support of Before You Buy. Now, folks, let's go ahead and move on. We've had a fun time with some phones and with some drones, but I think it's time to change the mood a little bit and look at a new keyboard for those who might game. So we called up a friend of ours. We called up OMG Chad. You know, he's known for gaming. And we gave him the latest, the greatest, the Tesoro Lobera Spectrum gaming keyboard.
Hello, my name is Chad. I'm with Twit and Before You Buy. And today I'm reviewing the Tesoro Lobera fully mechanical keyboard. This is the Spectrum. What sets this keyboard apart from other gaming keyboards in the category is that it has full color RGB LEDs below each mechanical key. This means that through software that you can change the keyboard color. You're not locked into green, blue, or red. You can change it to any color in the rainbow, in the spectrum, for you to enjoy. There's also lots of animations behind the keys as well. So, what does this sound like? This is the brown version of mechanical switches. If I'm just going to do a little test. And I'm opening up tabs and stuff on the computer in the background. It doesn't make a click sound once depressed. And then the force of the key is what you would kind of expect from a mechanical key. I found typing on this very, very fun, very awesome. The feedback is great. And it doesn't do that click, that downforce click, which is nice for someone like me who actually records my games, is perfect for Let's Players. It is a little bit more louder than a standard membrane keyboard, but other than that, it's pretty simple. Some other features that the keyboard has is a braided cord. This cord does have a USB pass-through for over here on the side. You get two USB ports. You also get a microphone and headphone port on this as well. There's also, you can switch between profiles with a button on the top. So you can see that my keyboard will switch between two profiles here with that button right there. Also, there are some function keys at the top, which are your multimedia keys. You could play, pause, volume up, volume down, and those sorts of things. It also has a numpad on the side, so if you're someone who doesn't want that on a keyboard, some people like their hands to be closer together. This does have a numpad. I enjoy the numpad. I like using the number pad. So there's that. Now, let me quickly talk about the software. Software is pretty simple. Basically, the user interface of the software is not perfect. But the software does allow you to do some really neat stuff with the keyboard. So if I switch in here, I can do some different illumination. So here's red illumination. Here is pink illumination. That's more like a purple. Here's yellow. And here is blue. Very quickly, it applies to the keyboard, which is really, really nice. Once you exit out of that menu, you can do some lighting effects. There's some really neat lighting effects. Here is a trigger lighting effect. So whenever you hit a key, it will light up temporarily. That's one good way to tell if when you're playing a game, if you've actually done it correctly. Ripple looks like Ripple is pretty neat. And what's cool is that these do layer, which is really nice. A lot of keyboards, there will be sort of a maximum amount of key presses before the animation resets itself. And with this, it doesn't do that. It's very fluid, very, very nice. Here is Firework. It's much smaller, and it does sort of a yellow sort of blast around that key. Next is Radiation, and that kind of goes across the whole keyboard there. It's very neat, like that. Next is Breathing, and this just has the whole keyboard breathe, basically. It doesn't matter what key you press. Next is Rainbow Wave, and this one has got to be one of the coolest ones available. Once again, it doesn't matter what keys you press. It just does a rainbow wave the entire time, which is really neat. And there's one more, which is Audio, which I never actually got to work. I assume that if you're playing music, it would do an audio waveform on the keyboard. I actually never got that one to work. Those are a few of the illumination options. You can also do it based off of your WASD keys. So here is a breathing just on those in that profile area. Here's a shine. And then here is a trigger on trigger so that when I hit one of these keys, it'll light those up. So pretty fully formed in terms of some of the options that you can do, except I could never figure out a way to turn the brightness down on this keyboard, which was a really big issue for me as I had this keyboard in my bedroom next to my computer setup, and it's very bright at night, incredibly bright at night. The best thing that I could figure out to turn off the keys was either to choose a profile that would only illuminate like on a key press, or you can go to your illumination options and set the color to pure black, and then that will turn off the black backlight as well. It was a little bit convoluted in order to turn off the illumination. I felt like there should be like just a button up here or something like that. Let's go for the pros and cons. Pros, fully mechanical keys on every single switch. Another pro is that the RGB LED illumination is really nice. And then the third pro is USB pass-through, which I really liked. On the cons, you cannot charge devices through these USB ports. They're just it's just a hub, and you really shouldn't charge your cell phone through it. I wasn't super impressed with the software that came with the keyboard. And finally, I wasn't super thrilled that there was no easy way to turn down the brightness of the keyboard. By the way, all of your settings can be saved under the keyboard so that when you go to a friend's house, all your macro settings, it has all the things a gaming keyboard needs. Macro settings, it'll store it on the keyboard so you don't have to carry your software around. So all of those, that is included. Basically, all those features I just assume are in a gaming keyboard worth its salt. Price is $159 MSRP. That's about how much I'm seeing it online via Newegg or around the internet, basically. So buy, try, don't buy for the Tessera Lobera Spectrum Fully Mechanical Keyboard. I'm going to give this a try. And the reason I'm giving it a try is because there's a few features in this premium keyboard market that I don't see this keyboard having, but it works just fine. I never found myself unable to use it or unable to do a task, but it's just not the highest end, even though it's at a high-end price point. So try for the Tessera Lobera Spectrum Fully Mechanical Keyboard. Thanks for watching.
Ooh, so good hardware, but a high price point and some buggy software gets the Lobera Spectrum Gaming Keyboard a try from Chad Johnson. OMG Chad. Of course, you can find him here on the Twit TV network every Thursday for the GizWiz. And don't forget, you can find him all over the YouTubes because he is the master of all things Minecraft. Again, let's switch up a little bit. Let's go move away from gaming into a bit more casual usage. We decided to give our very own cranky hippo, Brian Burnett, a portable projector to see if he could make heads or tails out of the Vivitech Qumi Q7.
This is Brian Burnett from Before You Buy, and I'm here to show you the Vivitech Qumi Q5. This is a compact, lightweight projector that you could throw in your bag and take with you on a trip. Taking a quick look at the hardware, the Qumi comes in a variety of colors. This review unit happens to be a very vibrant red. It feels very well built. It has all the inputs and outputs you'd want on the back, a focus wheel on the left, and it does come equipped with two mono speakers that are kind of quiet, but in such a small device, they are more than adequate. Now, the surface on top of the Qumi is definitely a fingerprint magnet, but as I won't be holding this a lot, it doesn't bother me too much. It comes equipped with all the different cables that you would want to hook up to your different devices, and a little remote that has interface with it that has a IR sensor on the back of the Qumi. It also comes with a little felt carrying case that you can put the Qumi inside. Taking a closer look at the back, you can see there's the power input, audio out, AV in, USB, the IR sensor, HDMI/MHL input, and a universal input output on the back. So testing out the Qumi was pretty much a breeze. They make it really easy to set up and they give you all the cables, so that's nice. And when I was playing down in the basement with it, it was really simple to just plug into my laptop, start sending video through the HDMI. And like I said, it is a fingerprint magnet, and the speakers aren't very powerful, but if you're in a pinch and you needed sound, they're more than adequate. The brightness of the Qumi is at 500 lumens, and then really that translates into if you're in a semi-bright conference room or a semi-lit room, this will be plenty bright. I had no issue seeing the projection with this at the brightness that was provided. And it has a native resolution of 1280 by 800, but will go up to 1600 by 1200. The projection distance will be anywhere between 3.5 feet to about 10 feet and will give you 30-inch display to a 90-inch display with a native 16 by 10 aspect ratio. It does weigh a little over a pound, so pretty light for its size, and there is a fan inside to keep things cool, which is audible in a quiet room, but really not that loud or overpowering. Now, as I mentioned, it came with a remote, but it is kind of useless as the IR sensor is in the back of the unit and it doesn't seem to have a very good range with that. So you won't be using the remote very much. The buttons on top of the QMI are touch sensitive and responsive enough for navigating the software. Now, the software does have a pretty simplistic interface. There's enough options to dial in your preferences, and it does have a cool auto keystone option for those times when you can't quite get the projector level, but it'll auto detect at what level the projector is at. So that comes in handy. And it does support most file formats and can read PowerPoint, Office, Excel files, along with MP3s, but I don't know why you would want to play music over this. So in my extensive time spending with the QMI, I really enjoyed playing with it and using it for hooking up my game devices or my laptop. The focus wheel was really easy to use too. And this leads me to my pros and cons, that the QMI excels at being compact and light, which is something you'd want from something you'd want from a portable projector. It's very bright and it does a very good job with the picture. And also it's easy to use. It doesn't have a lot of frills, but it also doesn't overcomplicate things. As for cons, it would be nice if it had adjustable legs on the bottom for those times where you have to set it on a table or get it elevated. Also, the user interface is a little clunky and has some weird options that you'll probably never use. And the final con is the tiny carrying case that it comes with. It's just barely big enough to fit the QMI and maybe a cable, but that's about it. So you'll be lugging the power cable along with you in something separate. Now, if I were to give this a buy, try, or don't buy, at $555, it is expensive, but if you're looking for a compact, easy-to-use projector, then I'd have to give the QMI Q5 a buy. This has been Brian Burnett for Before You Buy. Thanks for watching.
That's a buy for the QMI Q5 projector from our very own cranky hippo, Mr. Brian Burnett. Now, Brian, I noticed that in the doc it said Q7. Did this get downgraded to? I don't understand that.
No. That was Karsten. I just put my pros and cons in there and just let you read off what you did. A Ron Burgundy is what happened.
Exactly. Now, okay, $555. That is a lot of money. In fact, right now I'm watching the chat room and they're kind of going crazy saying, no, that's way too much. But when you consider what this is, I mean, this size with this power, that's actually the going rate for something this portable.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't played with a lot of other little projectors of that size, but the other ones that were in the same category, they're all around the same price. And then there was more. There the ones that were more expensive just usually had more features that you could dial things into. But this one, for its size and its weight, seemed pretty comparable.
Right. Well, there you have it, folks. If you are looking for a high-quality, bright projector for the go, maybe you want to take a look at the QMI Q5. This could be the next projector for you. Now, speaking of being on the go, Brian, do you like to eat?
I do it about 2 to 3 times a day.
You're a busy person, though, right? I mean, so you kind of have to eat on the go.
Yeah, there's this guy that I work with, and he makes things run really long a lot, and then I get home late, and I don't really feel like cooking.
Yeah, I asked you not to talk about Alex when he's not here.
Oh, yeah, that guy.
That's mean. Oh, but seriously, I mean, we all have this problem. I mean, we're geeks, right? We work no matter where we are. We work at work. We work at home. Our computer is our workspace, and so I have to confess this, Brian. A lot of times I'm not eating all that healthy. I eat a lot of fast food.
That seems strange because there's like a giant pile of candy in the no hole that I don't even know where that came from.
Yeah, it came from me. I may have stolen that from the central stores. No, but here's the problem. The problem is it's so difficult to eat well because I can't plan out my meals. I can't do the proper shopping. Most of the time, the stuff I eat is pre-processed. It's just not good for me, and I know that, but there hasn't been another alternative. That is, until now. That's right. That's because we've got Blue Apron as the second sponsor of this episode of Before You Buy. Now, what is Blue Apron, you might be asking yourself? Blue Apron is a way to get healthy, delicious, pre-packaged, pre-measured meals in your home automatically,
each and every single week. That's what Blue Apron does. They give you as many meals as you want, as many meals as you want to subscribe to, delicious meals with amazing variety. Do you want seafood? Do you want meat? Do you want chicken? Are you a vegetarian? Do you have special dietary needs? You can put all of that information into your account, and Blue Apron will find something wonderful every single time. We all love to eat, but it's hard to find that meal that doesn't compromise something somewhere. Do you want a good value? Do you want it to be quick to prepare? Do you want it healthy and delicious? Well, Blue Apron takes all the guesswork out of what you're going to make next. Blue Apron makes cooking delicious, easy, and fun. They deliver your meals ready to cook to your door. For less than $10 per meal, Blue Apron sends you fresh ingredients, perfectly proportioned, with step-by-step recipe instructions, including beautifully printed pictures so you know what your dish should look like when it's done. It makes cooking healthy meals really easy and fun, which means you get no trips to the grocery store, no waste from unused ingredients, and really just no hassle. It's a great way to learn not just how to eat well, but how to cook well. Blue Apron is perfect for a date night, cooking with friends, and even to offer family plans so that everyone can eat healthy and eat well with kid-friendly ingredients so that the whole family can come together and prepare a meal. I mean, that's really what we should be doing, and Blue Apron helps enable that. Each balanced meal is 5 to 700 calories per serving, and it's so yummy that you'd never know that it's low calories. And cooking takes about half an hour, shipping is free, and the menus are always new. So you're not going to get the same meal over and over. That's probably the kiss of death for everyone who's been cooking for themselves. Finding that meal that's a good balance, it's not too expensive, it's easy to cook, so you cook it again and again and again, and before you know it, it's no longer a meal, it's a chore. Now, Blue Apron will work around your schedule and dietary preferences, and their expert sources only the best ingredients for incredible meals like roasted salmon, fennel and something I can't even pronounce, olives with caracara orange, farro and salsa verde, and whole wheat spaghetti carbonara with smoked tofu and pea tips. Dang, I'm hungry. You'll cook incredible meals, and you'll be blown away by their quality and their freshness. Now, here's what we want you to do. We want you to cook right. Eat right with Blue Apron. It's a better way to cook. Check out this week's menu and get your first two meals free by going to blueapron.com/twit. That's blueapron.com/twit. That's right. Two free meals just for going to blueapron.com/twit. And we thank Blue Apron for their support of Before You Buy. Now, folks, as has become the custom for Before You Buy, we're going to give you a parting shot. This is a product that maybe doesn't warrant a full review, but we really did either like it or dislike it, and we wanted to show it off. In this case, this is the Tiffin Steadicam Curve. Now, it's designed for people who use GoPros. I could lock in this handle here, and this looks just like a mount, right? So this allows me to have a nice, steady platform for me to mount my GoPro on, and it uses the standard GoPro mount, so it doesn't matter if it's a 2, a 3, a 4, or the original GoPro. It will work with pretty much all of them. It's got a couple of different adjustment points. It's got this lever in the back here that allows me to adjust the camera forward or back. It also has a level in the back here that allows me to add weights so that I can properly balance my camera, and then I can adjust it to the left or to the right so that my camera will balance off. But here's where the real magic comes in. If I release the handle, it makes this whole arm a Steadicam attachment. Now, it's very tricky to use. I mean, you do have to balance it. In fact, right now, this GoPro isn't properly balanced. As you can see, it's kind of leaning to one side. So I'd have to put a bit more time into putting the weights in and making sure that this will go properly. Go ahead and show the overhead, Brian. The way you're supposed to use this is use either one thumb or, more preferably, to use the other hand to stabilize it so that as you move, this camera is going to stay on an even keel and it will smooth out your shot. Go back to the wide. In practice, this actually does work. It looks kind of strange. It feels kind of strange. It is difficult to learn because a lot of us, when we think of a steady cam, we're going to think of like a gimbal, which uses electronics and some gyros and accelerometers in order to keep it steady. This requires a light touch. If you hold it too hard, what's going to happen is the camera is just going to jerk along as if you were just holding it by hand. And if you hold it too light, you've lost it.
So it does require a lot of practice. Now, what I do like is the adjustability. I like the fact that it's going to work with a very popular GoPro platform. And I like the fact that it is so small. This thing does travel quite well. This is metal. This part here is plastic. But because it locks in like this, I can put this in my bag without worrying about fracturing it or destroying it in the rigors of my regular travel. The other thing I really like about this is that they've really made it for the people who are going to use it. In other words, if you're using a GoPro, it probably means you're out and about, and it means that you're going to want something that's not so big, like one of those Steadicam rigs, that you can't practically carry it with you, or not so flimsy that you're going to have to worry about bringing it on your next mountain climbing trip. Now, whether or not this works and works for you is really going to be dependent on whether or not you want to learn the touch, because it is going to take that tender touch to get this to give you that smooth shot. But once you get it down and once you figure out exactly how hard you should be holding down the mount on the top, this does give you butter smooth shots. In fact, I would put this up against some of the mechanical gimbals that I have that cost 4, 5, 6 times more. Now, this is about $60. You can find this on Amazon. This, again, is called the Tiffin Steadicam Curve. Looking around at some of the other options, it's not necessarily the easiest to learn. I wouldn't even say it's necessarily the best. But at $60 for something that is quite competent, that has a lot of adjustability, that includes everything from extra weight so that you can balance out different cameras to this universal mount so you can use every type of GoPro and GoPro clone, I have to give this a solid try. Hey, Brian, what do you think? Is this something that you'd want to use on your off-road adventures?
Yeah, I like the idea that it seems like it's pretty portable, pretty rugged.
It does, yeah. See, it takes that. Once it starts going off, it really is, ooh, I don't know what I'm doing. But you kind of have to hold it. So it is a two-hand operation. Yeah. But as you can see, I mean, it really does kind of smooth out the motion. And you notice it when you're recording.
Yeah, I'd have to play with it. $60 is probably the top amount that I would pay for something like that before looking at something else.
Yeah. Someone in the chat room is asking if this will work with a point and shoot. No, this is designed for a GoPro because it needs to be something that's small and something that's light. You can balance this back and forth, but anything that's not in the format of a GoPro, I'm afraid it's just not going to work with the Steadicam Curve. Well, folks, that's it for this episode of Before You Buy. I want to thank all of our reviewers. Of course, that's Miriam Jouar, who showed us the latest and greatest from HTC. For Leo Laporte, showing us the first look at a Parrot Bebop, we're going to get him up in the air and make him his own command sky pilot thingamawatzer. To Chad Johnson for showing us the latest and greatest in gaming keyboards. And, of course, to Cranky Hippo for being Cranky Hippo. I mean, Cranky Hippo, right?
I'm not so cranky right now, but yeah, on Twitter, I'm at @cranky_hippo.
Yeah. And folks, don't forget that we do this show every Friday live at 2 o'clock Pacific time. Actually, normally a little bit after 2 o'clock Pacific time. You can find us at live.twit.tv. And if you watch live, you get to see the pre-show, the pro-show, and everything that goes in between. And as long as you're watching live, why not jump into the chat room at irc.twit.tv? You can talk to me. I've actually got the chat room right down here, and you can ask me questions. You can tell me what you think of the products that we're reviewing, because Twit isn't just a network, and Before You Buy isn't just a show, it's an interactive experience. Finally, I want to thank everyone who makes this show possible, to Lisa and to Leo, of course, for the Twit TV studios, to all the engineers, of course, to Karsten, our producer, Brian Burnett. Oh, and by the way, Brian, could you tell the folks where they can find you on the Twit TV network?
Well, you know, there's another show I can think of that we do together called Know How, Thursdays at 11 o'clock Pacific time, and we've had some pretty cool projects we've been working on, and if you're going to be using the Steadicam for your GoPro, you might want to attach that to a quadcopter at some point, too. So check out Know How for that kind of information.
Oh, most definitely. And actually, I'm going to give you this warning now. We are going to start having crossover episodes between Before You Buy and Know How, because we have some products coming up that are great consumer products, but then we're going to show you some of the more interesting things that you can do with them. Some of the things that you can expect coming up on Before You Buy. Until next time. I'm Father Robert Vallisere, and remember, you've got to watch before you buy.